Hey guys, nice to see you again. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio. Hope you're having a good week and or weekend wherever you are in the world and whenever you happen to be listening to this. We're going to introduce a concept tonight that is something I'm calling psychoengineering, and you've probably heard of geoengineering, or hopefully you have. And that's geo means earth, and engineering means changing and designing and putting into a different shape, different condition. And the geoengineering idea is that nature really has a lot of flaws. It was sitting around waiting for modern science to come back and save us from it. And, all these evil germs running around trying to kill everybody. And obviously, that was an oversight of nature. And modern medicine was needed to fix that. And the weather wasn't good enough, so they had to be spraying metals and things into the atmosphere to occlude sunlight so it'd be just the right amount reaching the earth. And they've got that down about 22, 24% now, depending on whose numbers you look at. And I guess geoengineering, the idea is to take it much further than just the atmosphere into the soil, which they're already geoengineering by spraying poison on it for our benefit, of course, and causing the big forest fires that they can then blame on climate change and have that be a motivation to give up all your rights and that sort of thing. It's a pretty brilliant, comprehensive plan, but that's geoengineering. Psychoengineering is what makes geoengineering possible, because without psychoengineering, people would say, wait a minute, what are you doing? That's criminal activity. That's not science. And everybody on Earth would be against it, and it would have a hard time continuing. But because of psychoengineering, people think there's nothing wrong with that picture and there's nothing unusual going on. Having the sun occluded, like it didn't used to be, is totally normal. Having the climate really disrupted and all these airplanes flying around spraying unusual things in the sky, that's normal. So many other things are normal. The world covered with just completely ridiculous events these days in the news. And it's all acceptable because of psychoengineering. So one of the images that really struck me this week, because what this program's about, in case you're new, is we can't go back and give you a week's worth of news in 1 hour. You might have noticed that, and it's too much. And there are so many great independent news sources now where the people just go to a news event, take their phone or their camera, and say, "Look, that's what's happening." They don't try to change it into some spin for you so that you'll not be able to understand what it really is. They just go and they show you, and they, instead of this idea that you have to get your opinions from sources that give you their opinions to become your opinions, you don't need any sources like that. You just need to see what's going on and have it reported without interpretation. And there's a lot of people doing that now, even though you're not supposed to hear about them. So those are the ones working all week with that kind of news. What we're doing on this program is kind of giving you implications and things behind the scenes of what actually is meaning to take from events and what the implications for the future are, things like that. And one of the images that really stuck in my mind, and the reason I keep looking down, is I have notes from these bullet points that I wrote down on paper. Some people still use pens and papers, like in the old days, and I write down bullet points about what I want to remember to talk about. And usually I forget half of it or go off on a tangent or something, and I've got probably five times what I have time to cover here. But I want to pick up the most important things and make sure I remember to give it to you. Interesting things to think about. And really, if you look at the overall events, for those of you that don't like to spend more than two or 3 minutes on a program, and you want to just get the essence and then move to the next one or go back to what you were doing, I'll give you the spoiler punchline now, that the world is completely engrossed in insanity. It's engineered insanity. It's what I'm terming psychoengineering. And the hidden antidote to it, if there is going to be one, is you. And I know that sounds completely ridiculous to most people, because we're supposed to think that we're helpless. We're only one person out of 7 billion. We don't even have any Nobel Prizes, most of us, unless Barack Obama happens to be listening and some other people like that. Most of us don't have Nobel Prizes, and we don't have 10 PhDs, and we're not these celebrated people who were supposed to be, you know, any kind of celebrity. We're just regular old people. And so we can't do anything about the impending doom that we see in all directions. That's not, as they say in the movies, that's not entirely accurate. In other words, it's completely false. And that the whole thing is in the midst of you running around and thinking all these critiques of other people around you every second and, you know, trying to keep up with demands and all the things that are expected of you every day. If you are able to slow down internally and step back and look at things, then what you have lost touch with, that is actually your birthright as far as your normal forgotten abilities goes, is sufficient to actually turn around vast amounts of what's happening in the world. And if a few of us actually did that in tandem, we wouldn't see the terrible future that the rulers are planning for us right now. So you're the antidote if there's going to be one. And in order to regain that consciousness, which is the whole game, it's all what you do internally that empowers what you do on the outside. And to do that, you've got to learn to get your health back, which you're not supposed to know these days. Real health information is violently suppressed, in case you haven't noticed that. I'm just letting you know. And then from there, you do your internal work and learn to do that. That's the show. Okay, so if you only had 5 minutes, you're now done. I told you the whole thing. For those of you that want any more detail, the image that really struck me this week was a comparison. I forget who was putting it up on their website, between the Hong Kong protesters waving American flags as a symbol of freedom to them, a country that was at least in theory supposed to be based on individual freedom, and the people back in that country that was theoretically the symbol of freedom. Large numbers of them were in the street wearing black costumes and face masks and burning American flags and saying that there should be no USA at all and no borders and everybody should just flood in and make it so that it's not recognizable as a country anymore. And that contrast between the spirit of those two kinds of people, or people in two locations, was really striking. And the question is, why is that happening? Why? The people in Hong Kong obviously were realizing, and it was being brought to their attention because of primarily a proposed law of extradition to China, that there was a deal made between the officials of the UK, because Hong Kong was a possession of the UK, and the officials of mainland communist China. And the deal was the UK would withdraw, giving a kind of quasi-independence to Hong Kong for a while, and then in 2047, which seemed like a really long time in the future, so maybe nobody would think about it too much, but actually it's very fast and it could come in a flash, and they may have excuses to make that sooner anyway. In 2047, the deal was that Hong Kong would go back fully under the control and the original communist system of China, run by the Beijing government, and they would lose all their freedoms. Because I don't know if you're aware of it, but in China, we've had people on who are experts in China reporting from inside China and in Vietnam about the practices that go on and the suppression of freedom by the Chinese government, which is now aided by companies like Google and Apple working with them for total surveillance and control. And they've already started eliminating people's ability to travel because their opinions are wrong on what's called the Chinese social score, and that's being prepared to come to all the other countries, including the U.S. and everywhere else in the world. So the protesters in Hong Kong were realizing this doesn't look too good for the future, and it might happen right away because this, what they call the CEO of the government in Hong Kong, 7.5 million people under that control in Hong Kong, including lots of islands and the main area of Hong Kong, that CEO, which was a particular woman, is under the control of the Beijing government, does what they say, and she was going to approve this new law. In fact, I think she was the one that suggested it, that anybody who's accused of a crime from mainland China could be extradited over there, which right now they can't. And for the moment, that law has been set aside, but they have other demands that haven't been addressed yet. And so anyway, they were begging the U.S. government to support them and the president and say, look, we're trying to stay free, but there's an agreement that the U.S. had nothing to do with between the government of Great Britain and China, and the fate of the Hong Kong people has already been decided of what's to happen in 2047. And until then, they're actually considered part of China anyway, but under a different system, one nation, two systems for the moment. But system number two ends like the carriage in Cinderella at midnight. And in 2047, it's all just communist China and that's it. But at the moment, because of the protests in Hong Kong, the bridge that's built between mainland China and Hong Kong was starting to have military people come over it in preparation to take care of the protesters. And we'll see what happens with that. Right now, the main element of the demands that they've been demanding has been set aside, supposedly. But they're saying, no, there's other ones too. We're not done talking. So we'll see what happens right now, you know, in the near future. But to answer really why, while that's happening and they're starting to realize the importance of freedom, you know, to make your life possible to live in a decent way, the people over in America are sliding in the other direction as if they don't appreciate any of the principles that the country was founded on. Some do, but there's this increasing masses in the street saying they don't want any America at all, that even having borders on the country is somehow against the other people in other countries, which is completely ridiculous. And, you know, they're trying to tear it down, and there's all kinds of other campaigns running against America at the same time to break up families and normal ideas of biology, and the innocence of children is being attacked directly, and unborn kids and kids that were just born are targeted for murder, and it's a pretty serious situation. And the schools all the way from preschool through universities are enhancing this insanity, and that's part of the program that I'm calling psychoengineering. Absolutely every bit as dangerous as geoengineering, but just not 100% on the physical poisoning level like geoengineering is. Geoengineering obviously is to destabilize the climate so that people can then be worried about climate change and give up all their rights and be terrified of global warming and global cooling and global changing back and forth or global anything, because they're basically trained to be fear-based and say, well, because everything is climate change, except for racism, but that's climate change too, then the point is give up your rights, submit to global tyranny, get rid of sovereign countries, and then everything will be okay, and the climate will stop changing. It's a really amazing program of miseducation. But to really understand where it's coming from and what's going on, which is the reason to even look at that, is because you want solutions, right? And unless for some strange reason you want to live under complete global tyranny and have the quality of life go down to zero, then what you're interested in is not just listing all the terrible things that are happening, but saying, what can be done to reverse that trend so that the world actually gets in a better and better condition and people in all countries have a better quality of life and that sort of thing? Those are normal incentives. So to understand that, it requires some background. And we're going to have to go really fast because that's a quarter of our time gone already. And I'll probably just be able to touch on a few of the things I put down here to share with you. But the basic understanding, which I'm sure a lot of you already have, is that you've heard this term deep state. It means the controlling hierarchy behind the visible government. People like Eisenhower and John Kennedy have talked about that. Kennedy made a speech about it and called it a monolithic conspiracy and controlling the world, very vicious and completely tightly organized. That's exactly what he was talking about in the speech just before he happened to get killed by people in the government and within the same conspiracy that were above the government, visible government. And it was before the term conspiracy theory was coined. And I think it was the FBI that first came up with that. And the idea was when people started saying, well, there was more than just Lee Harvey Oswald. There was multiple people, that at least two that shot John Kennedy. which came out to be absolutely true later on and was really obvious from the beginning because the impact of the shots was from different directions. They called that the magic bullet theory, that you could go around and come from one direction, then come from the other direction. And that's really not how bullets operate in this particular age. So the conspiracy that Kennedy was talking about before that happened was being held together by the media, education, fake science at that time. This was in the 60s. It's a lot more intense now. Programmed entertainment and the so-called health industry that's keeping everybody sick, the toxic agriculture, food and water geoengineering, which was going on at that time, probably started 20 years before that, but not at the scale that it's going now. And now they're adding complete censorship and surveillance so that nobody will be allowed to question anything. And they've got the technology, they think, to shut that down pretty completely. It's already been done. So they've been in charge, actually, this group, if in the larger sense, for many thousands of years. But now they're at the point where they feel like their end goal is in sight. And normalcy bias is what is their main camouflage, because people don't want to see that things are as serious as they are. They want to feel good, which is normal. Everybody wants to. I think everybody's completely selfish. You know, they include the well-being of other people if they're somewhat mature, but it's all selfishness because everybody's operating according to wanting to feel good in their life. And normal people include the welfare of others in that because they know we're all tied together. And people who have this sickness that they want to perpetrate evil, they think that by hurting other people, it's going to make them feel better because they'll be more powerful and everything. And they control each country as appropriate. And our normalcy bias makes it really hard for us to see what's going on, even though it should be very obvious and it's right in front of your face. There are certain common threads in the kind of control that they use on all these different countries. And again, I'm not going through this just to say things are bad. Things are like they are. But in order to come up with a solution, because I think that, you know, part of our training is that we can't come up with a solution, that only teams of experts at the top, you know, that ultimately what they call the technocracy is going to solve everything. But that's not true. The technocracy that's in place and that is coming out into the open is for the purpose of enslavement and extermination. It's not to solve any problems other than for the rulers. So if you look at the common threads of control in all the different countries that are going on financially, they're virtually all controlled through corrupt banking. We've had Ed Griffin on the Sunday show. He has a really good explanation of central banks and the so-called Federal Reserve, which is not federal at all any more than Federal Express or anything like that. We've been given this illusion that the bank is a storage place for everybody's money to keep it safe and all that. Kind of as a lending service, lending its own assets. And that's all completely false. It's all made up. Central banks get authorized by government to make up money by what they call a fiat money system. And it doesn't exist. It never did. It's just entries on paper, entries on a computer, I'm sorry, or printed on paper, or coined into very low value metal coins at this point. And they control whole economies and politicians, and they're all coordinated through the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, which is above the law, can't be investigated at all by governments. It's its own government. They can go anywhere and take anything with them on airplanes that they want to. They can't be questioned or stopped or anything like normal people. And they control local banks within the system of each country and let them do something called fractional reserve banking, which sounds really official, right? And must be scientific or something. And no, it's a total scam. Like the central banks are, but on a local level. And what it means is if they have 100 make-believe dollars in the bank, you would think, well, they can lend some fraction of that, so they keep some of it, right, to be safe. No, it actually means if they have $100, 100 fake dollars, they can lend 1,000 or 10,000 as if it was real. And what does this do? It moves the wealth from the people that earn it back to the owners of the banking system. It's very sophisticated, but really not that complex, as impressive as it sounds. It's just a complete scam. And the ability to lend money that doesn't exist, how much profit could you make in your company if you had the right to do that and the exclusive monopoly to do that? It would be unlimited, right? So that's the basic idea of the system. Some of the money that they loan out, they create by promises to pay. In other words, if you go there, in there and sign a promissory note to pay back a loan on the house, and they put that promissory note in the vault, and that's their asset against the money that they loan you. They just make up the money based on that note. It never existed. But it's backed up, even though not by solid assets, it's backed up by government force, and that's pretty effective. And that's one of the many reasons that they want totally disarmed populations, because when the government has total force, what the United Nations has called the legitimate, which is not even close to reality, legitimate monopoly of force that the government has, they can just do whatever they want and there's no way to dissent. Well, almost no way. So anyway, this way they gradually create increasing financial stress, because as the wealth moves from the people who are actually doing things that are creative to the owners of the banking system, it creates gradual austerity. So people have less and less because the money is worth less and less. They're either in so much financial distress because they're working all the time to survive and unable to raise their own kids, by the way. So they have to go to government-controlled daycare centers or preschools, and they start getting indoctrinated at age 3 or something like that. Or if they're not working, they're totally dependent on government welfare, which in order to get the welfare, there are conditions on it. And they don't have time to consider the slavery that they're in every day physically, and also the slavery of believing in things that aren't true. And so the system, basically by printing or issuing digital money that doesn't really exist, lowers the value and purchasing power of each dollar, because if you have so many real goods in society that come from agriculture and mining and from, you know, real sources of wealth, like Charles Walters talked about in Acres USA when he started it out, those are real value, and the money is supposed to represent some little pieces of that. So when you just start increasing the money at a rapid pace, and the real goods are still the same, then by simple arithmetic, the value of each piece of money, like whether it's a dollar or any other unit of currency, that goes down proportionally. And that's called inflation, as if it was a natural consequence of time, and it's not. If you have money based on gold or silver, gold and silver, like the U.S. money supply was supposed to be and most of the others that were sound, you don't have inflation. That natural event doesn't occur, because there's still a set amount of solid asset behind the money. And that's why they had to get rid of the gold standard and then the silver standard in order to devalue the money as much as possible. And you can see more detail of that if you really want to get into the technical parts of it in a great book by Ed Griffin called Creature from Jekyll Island. Jekyll Island, it's a place where they met secretly to set up the central bank of the U.S. and call it the Federal Reserve. So it sounded really federal and like it was using its own money reserves to help everybody, neither of which had any reality at all. And then the central banks get so powerful with that system of devaluing the money that they control not only individuals and politicians, but industries and corporations. And on a bigger scale, there's an analogous central bank system called the World Bank and International Monetary Fund that simultaneously does the same thing to whole countries and starts taking, when they can't pay back loans that they're given, which is the whole point, then the bank takes their assets and their natural resources and gradually moves the ownership of everything into a centralized cartel, part of the deep state that Kennedy was talking about. So if you look at or ask the question, how's the control used that this system creates? To understand it more fully, you have to understand who are the top level people running the banking system and what are their goals, because that's what it's all engineered for. It's all designed so that they can get to their goals. And then you have to look at who's controlling those people. And it's like a pyramid-shaped power structure, which means you get less and less and less people involved as you go to the higher levels of control. And this is where it really gets strange. I mean, and too threatening for most people to follow. And I totally understand that. It's again, this normalcy bias psychological mechanism that is working in all of us. We don't want to know about things that are really terrible, which is very understandable. You know, I don't either, except if they're true. I eventually learned that being unaware of them doesn't save you from anything. It doesn't make your life all nice and make you safe and make things stable. No, it just makes you susceptible to things that happen to you and you have no idea where they come from. Whereas if you just relax and are brave enough to say, okay, whatever's going on, I want to know. It's not about parties or left or right or any of these nonsensical distractions. It's about what's true and what isn't. In fact, a good friend of mine was talking to me this week about extremism, right? Because this is, our vocabulary is being engineered too. It's like etymological engineering or something to go along with geoengineering and psychoengineering. And the idea is that our vocabulary is being changed, but we're being allowed to think we did it ourselves. Just like inflation is normal, that this kind of a de-evolution of vocabulary and ability to talk and know what we're talking about goes away too as a natural consequence of time. That, no, it doesn't. It doesn't have to. It doesn't usually stay the same, but it usually either goes up or down, and for most of us, it's going down. And this idea of extremism is a perfect example. Something is classified as extreme, and therefore, you're not supposed to understand it. You're just supposed to know, well, it must be bad. You know, like Einstein was extreme compared to Newtonian physics, right? So does that mean he was bad and Tesla was even more extreme than him? The people who decided that racism against people with dark skin was really stupid and evil and it should be ended, those people were extreme compared to the regular people who wanted to perpetuate slavery of human beings, which is still going on in quite a few countries in Africa right now, by the way, right now. And that, the news kind of forgets to mention that, but that's true. So the people that ended slavery in the U.S. and in the U.K. and realized that all the same rights applied to everybody, those people were extremists compared to the racist undertones that were affecting most of the population. The people that decided that women should have the vote in the U.S., those were extremists in the beginning. But they weren't extreme, they were just normal, and that was just obvious common sense. Males are humans, females are humans, kids are humans. You know, once a kid gets beyond a certain age and grows up a little bit, theoretically, then they should be able to vote, not according to what gender they are. But those people were extremists for pointing that out. And that's what I'm saying, is that the language is being used against us to hopefully make us give up thinking. But again, back to the power structure, this is where it gets so that most people would not be able to comprehend it. But the reason we want to know is for solutions. So at the top level, the people who also run the banking scam, which is a total scam, it's not as impressive as they want us to think. It's just a way of stealing everything. They're not at the top to amass money. They already did that. They already own the money system. People at the top are Satanists. And it's not that they have, you know, a membership card of a certain religion, although they may. There's a real Church of Satan in the U.S. and other parts of the world. It's what they're into. And they're basically drug addicts. And the drug that they're addicted to is not a physical drug, although they may be into that too. The drug that they're into is evil, and the way I'm describing or defining evil is wanting pain and destruction and fear and bad things to happen to other people for its own sake. You like suffering, and that's what these people are. They have ceremonies about it. They do things that you would only think are in a bizarre horror movie, but they're beyond the horror movies and they're real. And now it's confirmed. I mean, for anybody that was wondering if it could be true, whistleblowers like Ronald Bernard, who was a Danish banker who came out publicly after he was tortured and almost killed for trying to leave the banking cartels. Not many people get out alive, and he did. And is doing. He may be on Lost Arts Radio at some point in the near future. We've talked a couple of times, and I'd like to have him on. They follow basically the dictates of non-physical entities above them, which are absolutely real. People have encountered them. They're not a theory or a belief. They are very powerful negative beings. And they're characterized by ugliness and fear and really nasty energy. And the goal of the Satanists is to merge with these dark beings because they think, wow, that if we're high on the drug of evil, that's the way to really get into it. And their version of immortality, which it's not going to work out that way. But because I'm sorry to talk fast, but I've got way too much to cover, and this is a very short show. And you can play it back later if it's too fast and slow it down or something. But I want to get in as much as I can. It's not going to work out the way the Satanists think they will. If there's any of you guys watching now, you probably won't, you know, give any credence to what I'm saying, but you should, because there are laws of nature that you're overlooking. And even though it's not going to work out the way you think, you're making a big mess. And really, everybody's responsible for everything they do, and it's not creating a good future for yourself. So real good time to reconsider where you're going. It's based on some big misconceptions. But anyway, as I was saying, since we don't have time for all the details of how the top-level banking cartels work, look up Ronald Bernard. I think he's still on YouTube, probably not removed yet, most likely because they think the average person would never believe it's true, but it is. So if you understand what their goal is, step-by-step suffering and destruction to the maximum extent possible, if you really understand that, then you see how all of the sub-agendas within the world fit together. If you thought their goal was money and paper, or if you thought they just want population reduction and have the world left over for themselves, then things don't make sense at all. Why does it not make sense? Because they're destroying the life support systems of the planet, of the planet's biosphere. And they're doing it in irrevocable ways that cannot easily be healed. If they wanted it to save it for an elite remnant, for themselves, then they would be preserving the ecosystem and just killing us, but they're not. They're killing other life forms. They're exterminating many species that are going extinct. They're polluting oceans and biosphere beyond recall. And even their own higher level servants who think that they're going to be in some kind of an elite remnant when it's all over, they're not noticing. You guys, you're not noticing the obvious right in front of you. They're destroying the life support systems of Earth. And there's a lot of people on the so-called conservative side of the political spectrum that say, oh no, all the environmental stuff is all a scam. Well, a lot of it is, but what I'm talking about isn't. And, you know, you need to drop political positions and labels and be brave enough to look at what's happening. The elite remnant theory doesn't hold water at all. It's a scam against the people working for the dark side, actually, to motivate them. But the obvious question is, if they're on a suicide mission, which they clearly are, not just to reduce the population, and that's not it, why not just get it over with? Because they've got the technology right now to exterminate life on this planet probably within the hour, like right now. And they're clearly not. The reason they're not, as far as I can tell after decades of really digging into this, is that Satanism is all about ritual and symbolism and following exact protocols, timelines, notices, correct procedures, things like that. And the extermination of life on Earth is a big project, and it has to follow these to be acceptable and get the desired results. It's all based on the doctrine of sacrifice, which is in many scriptures. And the idea is that if you kill an innocent being and you do it exactly right, according to by the numbers, then God is going to give you some wonderful reward and spiritual benefit and take away, you know, all of your bad actions, and you're not going to be punished for anything. So this isn't a straight out murder, which could be done quickly. It's a ceremonial sacrifice by very strict protocols, and they think that they're getting near the end positive, successful conclusion of it now. But in order to reach the final conclusion, where there's no chance we could turn it around, they have to have us stay unconscious so that they can finish. Why is it true? Why do they need us? Why do they care if we're conscious? And if they're in control of the money and the weapons, why would they care if we wake up or not? And by wake up, I don't mean able to recite all the bad things going on. That's not waking up. I'm saying becoming self-aware, which we're nowhere near that now. On the surface, it doesn't make any sense that they would care about that, because they have all the power, and we just look like we're helpless slaves running around and caught in their system. But at the top levels, they know the reason. Their lives are all based on fear. That's their religion. Satanism is all fear. It's all darkness, because they're really betraying themselves, and you can't feel good when you're doing that, which they're completely doing. But their biggest fear of all in the whole world of fear is you, is us. And they understand, that top level understands, that under all the layers of hypnosis and programming, that we're walking around like zombies, most of us, thinking, how can we critique or condemn each other, and who do we hate, and some people in a different social class or a different skin color or a different gender or age or something are bad, and we spend all our time criticizing them, never looking at ourselves. If we break through that, underneath all of that nonsensical programming, which makes us act like idiots every day, we're actually unlimited beings of incredible light and creative power, great healing power. And if they don't keep us unconscious, then we'd not only reverse the destruction easily, we would wake them up too, which would actually be really a good thing for them. But their whole game would be over, and that's too threatening. So that's why you're their biggest fear. Not because you're going to come kill them, but because you wouldn't need to kill them if you wake up. They would become healed by resonance, and that would be a good thing. This place would be like heaven on earth for the limited time that we're here. They would never be able to match our awake state power, because they're holding on to so much fear and malice that limits the actual power that they can wield. And they only look powerful when we're totally out to lunch and lying on our backs unconscious, so to speak. So what the question is, what can they do to protect their plan from us waking up while they're finishing off the rest of the sacrifice? This is a big issue that they're constantly dealing with, and then watching for feedback to see how well it's working in the world. And again, I'm trying to skip over a lot of this stuff to just hit the high points and be able to finish in time. They have to keep us blinded with false beliefs about our own helplessness, that's clear, and distracted with a lot of sickness and degeneration. They need a special kind of healthcare system, that's for sure. And keep us at war with each other and ourselves and between countries, and mainly involved in hate and fear, because that leads to everything else. Mainly unaware of how easily we could heal ourselves in the world. In our current state, it looks impossible. It's not. And it doesn't mean that you quit your outside work and you become irresponsible and don't work for any good causes, don't donate to anything good. All those things go on. It just means whatever you're doing, because of the change in internal state, becomes effective on a level we can't imagine right now, and they don't want that to happen. So to keep us in that state of complete obliviousness to who we are, they need a special kind of educational system, which we've got pretty well established now, to make sure that we are filled with false beliefs about ourselves and how nature works. And it also makes sure that we don't have any common sense left. You remember the old stories about other ages where they used to have this thing called common sense, right? It's really a valuable thing, and now it's considered unscientific, and it's denigrated to valueless status. And they want to make sure that we lose our ability to observe what's happening around us and to notice patterns and then to think about why those patterns are happening and set up ways to test it is, you know, that's real science. Observation, pattern recognition, hypothesis, testing, theory, more testing, observation. It's never settled or finished, but it gets you closer and closer to understanding what's going on. And it's the same principles in spiritual quest or in scientific inquiry. And we're not supposed to remember how either one are done. We're supposed to be, everything's supposed to just become a memorized religion now, including all science, where if you go against it, you know, they attack you or kill you, whatever comes first. So we're taught fake science to replace real science with, and fake science is memorizing acceptable information. And you reject unacceptable lists of information as unscientific or extreme, like I was saying, which means nothing except that you're not allowed to think about it, and or call it racist or hateful or whatever. Science has been corrupted completely and is now used to approve suicidal programs and the use of technologies designed to destroy us and the biosphere. And if you look for examples of that, agriculture is a great one. Poisoning the earth with chemical fertilizers. And no, I'm not against all the conservative people with good ideas. I don't believe in conservative or liberal at all. I think those are distractions and blinders. And this is something I agree with OCA and other organic groups about, is that chemical agriculture is super destructive, and it's directly tied to the health status of people in the world right now. The idea of GMOs to feed the world, aside from chemical fertilizers and poisons, the GMOs is obviously to corrupt the whole genetic library of life on Earth, and the idea that it's feeding the world is just a really bad joke. And we're also convinced on television and all these commercials, don't worry about what's in the food, just eat for how exciting the taste is. This is really not intelligent for human beings to be on that level. It's kind of like how a trout gets caught by a salmon egg, right? It's not because, well, of course, to be fair to the trout, if you're in a trout stream, you're not supposed to have synthetic salmon eggs floating around, right? So you're not supposed to have to worry about that. The trout's not programmed for it. But the trout gets his hook ripping through its face and it gets pulled out of the water, and it's an unpleasant future for that fish. We're doing the same thing when we bite on foods that are made out of garbage, which most of them are, processed dead foods. No, it's not to take away your right to eat processed dead foods if that's what you want. But you should know what it is and know that you're not feeding yourself. You're feeding your physical body, and there's a vast difference. If you make that little change in understanding, you don't need willpower to upgrade your lifestyle anymore, and all kinds of things change. But besides the poison in the food, they need to spray poison into the environment so that you get it from breathing. And DDT was a big one of those. It ended up causing polio, according to a lot of people who know about the details of that. Corexit, they sprayed all over when they had the so-called oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, and sprayed Corexit to hide the oil residue. But they didn't stop there. They sprayed it on the land, too, just to make sure and poison the people there. It was totally amazing environmental emergency or catastrophe, as you might say. One of the big examples right now happening of science approving a suicidal technology is one I was just talking to a doctor friend of mine about yesterday. The telecom industry with wireless radiation transmitters and what they're calling 5G. And you might want to look at the archive of the two or three shows that we just did with Mark Steele. Really informative. He's a microwave weapons expert. A bunch of other ones with Barry Troyer, also on Lost Arts Radio on the Sunday show. None of this destructive or deadly radiation is necessary at all for fast communication. The frequencies used were chosen for the harmful effects, as Barry Troyer really points out well. By the end of World War II, they had perfected the use of microwave technologies to change thought patterns and emotions, turn people into assassins and things like that. It's much, much further along right now. The Barry Troyer archives are pretty interesting if you have time to look at that. Just look up Lost Arts Radio, Barry Troyer. and Mark Steele too. And then remember, there was a whistleblower who just lasted a little while before they obliterated him. His name was Brian Coffran. Everything he's put on the internet, as far as I know, was totally wiped away. And he worked for a so-called private security company in Seattle that was actually working on ways to use microwave weapons to control large segments of society all at once. This is the modern status of this research into microwave weapons against populations. And all kinds of pathological, mental, and emotional changes can be created using microwave weapons, but now they can do it on millions of people at once, which I think is part of the reason why you have insane crowds running around the street, incredibly angry and not sure what they're against, but they know they're really against it, and they just want to beat up and kill anybody they can. They're told by their bosses which property they can destroy for demonstrating, you know, against whatever it is. That's part of the explanation anyway. And now you can see why people in a country founded on at least the theoretical idea of personal freedom, which was the U.S., and that rights are given by God, not just to Americans, but to everybody, wherever you're listening, in any country of the world. And there are a lot of countries, all of which have their own cultures and reasons for sovereignty. And the rights of the people in every one of those countries are exactly identical, according to the people who wrote the Declaration of the U.S., Declaration of Independence for the U.S. government, for the U.S. people. And that's why the people in Hong Kong are waving U.S. flags. It's for the principles put in the Declaration of Independence that they believe in. And the people in America are being programmed and microwaved to forget all this kind of stuff, and poisoned and fluorided and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, the idea was that the rights can't be taken away. And in a country like that, or any other country really, that appreciates that idea, those rights could be made a reality for the first time. It's never fully been done, even in America, and it would be a really good thing to try, starting immediately, if not sooner. So it makes you understand why people would be out in the streets wearing black terrorist costumes, committing violent crimes, burning their own flags, attacking people, calling for communism and the end of their own country. It's because it's not really complex to understand why that's happening. It's because they're insane. And it's a combination of the poisoning, but mainly with the frequency weapons and the indoctrination and money being offered for them to do that if they're willing to say the right things. And their resistance to that is very low. Most of them are on some kind of drugs, which open you up to all kinds of suggestibility. But the wireless radiation, even aside from the fact that the frequencies were chosen to be harmful, it's not even necessary beyond that, because the fiber optic system in many places, especially in the U.S., but I'm sure other places too, the fiber optic cable is much faster than wireless radiation, and it doesn't hurt anybody. It's clean, and it's more reliable. It doesn't cut out so much, and it's not a weapon. And it really wouldn't be difficult to use that instead of the wireless. So it's the malicious nature of the bosses and the people in the telecom industry. I've talked to many of them, and at the level of the people doing the work, they just are trusting of the bosses and the authorities, and they say, no, of course they would never do anything that was going to harm people. It's all government approved. We have the FDA and the CDC taking care of us, and similar organizations in other countries, and they would never allow this to happen. Total brainwashing, misplaced trust. It's not true. Those government agencies are all completely corrupt. And they have a lot of good people working in the lower positions, not suspecting what it's about. But the people running them are not in a good place. So right now, the rulers of the world, and I was talking about this to the doctor friend of mine yesterday, are pushing for a total microwave immersion in radiation of the whole world, and what they call the Internet of Things, which would be a really, really terrible idea. Part of the UN Agenda 21 and 2030, actually. And the U.S. president is currently considering a total new surveillance system straight from big tech that's in the process of destroying his own country. and appears to not even understand that. And the people in Congress are no better from both parties. They think it's all a great idea. The president has even said 5G is not enough. We want 6G. He doesn't get it. I mean, he does have good motivation. I'm pretty sure of that, and that's the reason they want him dead. But he's definitely not aware of a lot of important critical things. Got blind spots which are potentially fatal for his country, for our country, and for the world. And he thinks that great companies are to be really admired, even if they're selling technology that is going to be destructive to life, which that's not a great company. That's a great scam or a great enemy of humanity. And anyways, looking at a system right now, hopefully he'll reject it, being proposed by members of his family and close friends that say, give big tech the ability to have total surveillance over everyone. You have to have one of those spies in your house that are being sold by Amazon and Google and other companies, Apple, and they'll collect everything that you say and do and all your facial expressions, your blood pressure, your heart rate, your breathing, and all that, and decide who looks questionable and maybe breathing too fast or something and should start losing your rights. He's actually looking at that. Pretty amazing. And they want this total immersion in radiation. So the plan is 20,000 satellites to go up and cover every square inch of the Earth in 5G radiation, where no place to escape from it, which would basically kill not only the people, but the animals and the plants and the trees and the insects. It's not just honeybees, it's the whole web of life. And this guy, Elon Musk, who has a company, SpaceX, is going to be part of shooting up all those satellites. And not a good future. It needs to be changed. It needs to be turned around. It's a very high priority to get that stuff stopped right now. From the ruler's point of view, the microwave radiation, smart grid, Internet of Things, they have great benefits. But the benefits are things like sickness and unconsciousness and chaos and violence and insanity of the population to make us theoretically completely controllable. What they haven't calculated is that that's the end of their ability to live as well. But it's not a mistake. At the corporate level, it's money and power, but the higher levels, it's all to neutralize humans and move toward killing the biosphere. And so far, it's working great. That's why I'm even bringing it up. It's not to say, well, it's really terrible, and what else is happening, you know? No, the idea is that we're responsible. Every one of us is the person responsible and needs to look carefully and see what we can do for a solution. And this is not going to be solved by sinking to their level or attacking anybody. This is much more demanding. It's a change in life, in complete life, of anybody who's interested in being part of the solution. In addition, for the project to keep us unconscious, they need a healthcare system and a medical industry that keeps us sick and drains the money back into the corporations and government and central bank. And it's been developed with the health and support of fake science and education and medical school academia. They're all supporting this medical system that's keeping everybody sick. And it's so universally supported and approved by the agencies and everything that people think that it's actually for health. It's totally amazing. The population is so dumbed down from education that we don't see what's wrong with the picture. With toxic chemicals called medicine, either you eat them in your mouth or you get them injected through a hollow needle into your body, even babies, and that's supposed to make you healthy. Suppression of natural systems in the body, no connection between food and what you eat and drink and everything, and aging. Evil germs running around just killing you at random. Everything has to be sterilized for health. Bad luck and genetics are blamed when you have the golden years are like hell when you're getting old. None of that's normal. None of it's natural or required. All of it's reversible. But we're supposed to be too dumb to even realize that. And then the next level of psychiatry our psychology kicks in and we're taught that countries are bad. Right now, men are bad, people with light skin are bad, families are bad, normal biology is bad, freedom is unsustainable, total surveillance and control by technocrats is good, merging with AI is good, total chemicalized environment is really good, the sun is bad, has to be blocked out, which they're doing now with the geoengineering. I've got a couple of minutes. I'm going to try to finish up here. And back to the original question, with the Americans burning their own flags and the Hong Kongers waving American flags, the first part is explained why hypnotized, poisoned, fearful Americans gave up their rights in country. And the second part, why the Hong Kongers wave the U.S. flags is because of what they think they represent. And they should. And they're looking at a communist takeover in their near future, and they don't like the prospect. They're begging the U.S. president to support them, but he's busy calling for 6G at the moment, so it doesn't look likely. So who's going to come to the rescue? And I would say, don't look to any president or country or legislature or Congress or anything to do that. It's really up to us, and the reason we're constantly told that we're incompetent is that the opposite's true. And we can continue as zombies and full of fear and hating each other and poisoning our lives in the world, or we can remember some shred of who we really are and decide to do the work, the internal work, and changing your physical lifestyle. Because if you don't get your health back, it's not going to work to do the internal part. And we could do it. We could relearn ancient principles of health that still work, and they're suppressed by violence now, by the current healthcare system and governments, because they know if you learn them, you'd become independent and healthy and say, wow, this feels really good. I wonder what else is possible. That is possible. And it's still possible to learn it. It's going to be illegal to talk about it soon, and it's already becoming like that. But we need to awaken our forgotten healing power, and it's real. It's not a belief system or anything like that. It's absolutely real. And it's our biggest. The biggest fear of the rulers is that we ever find out about that. But it's their real hope, too, because if we did wake that back up, we could help them. We wouldn't even need to be against them anymore. That what we could turn this place into is beyond description. So when you ask who's the real key decision maker of what's going to happen to the world, it's actually you. And I'm not saying that for some kind of just drama or, you know, to sound a certain way. It's because it's literally true. And I don't expect very many people to consider that that could be true, but it really is. And we have the ability to realize something that's unlimited power and potential inside of us. So that's what we're working on with Planetary Healing Club, if anybody gets interested in that. Today's meeting of that starts in 30 minutes. Access point is at planetaryhealingclub.com. It's the part that we can't put on the public channels, and we'll help to create eventually a school if we have that much time, and if we get the funds to do it, that's what we'll do. And in fact, if you want to help us and keep us on the air with this very unusual line of exposure and talking about nonpartisan, deeply hidden things that you need to know about right now, then consider helping us a little bit at subscribestar.com. We've got a new page there, subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And it would really be great if you can help us, because we're not pushing products. And I haven't found anything like that that feels clean and that wouldn't be a bunch of hype and just trying to sell something to sell it when I otherwise might not. I'd rather have anybody that believes in what we're doing just help us a little bit or more if you have more money. Help us a lot. Subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. And the public shows that are free to everybody will continue as long as we can stay on. Tomorrow night on the Sunday guest show is Christina Hildebrand, and that's going to be pretty interesting based on the events that are happening about health freedom in California. So thanks for taking the time. I think I'm a minute overdue. Anybody that's interested in the club meeting, that's planetaryhealingclub.com, subscribestar.com if you want to help us stay on the air. And otherwise, watch for videos. We'll try to put out some more during the week. We're working on those now. And otherwise, we'll meet you here next week at the same time. Hope you have a great week. I look forward to seeing you then. Thanks for being here.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has 3 weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on 2 YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.